Let's look at a few scriptures on your sheet for the sake of time. Just to get started, we've read these many times. We've been in a series. We had a break for a while, but I'm getting back into a series about, we called Built Together. The church, that we each have a specific place, we have a position, we have something that God's called us to do. Ephesians 2:19 on your sheet there, it says, now therefore, everybody have a sheet? Anybody that doesn't have a scripture sheet? Everybody have a Bible? There's Bibles on the back table if you need one. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Verse 22, in whom you are also being built together. We're being built up into something. God is building his church, his body here on this earth. Ephesians 2:22 in the Williams translation says, and you yourselves in union with him, in fellowship with one another, are being built up into a dwelling for God through the Spirit. You yourselves in union with him, in fellowship with one another. As we are being built up, we're fellowshipping with one another, we're in union with him, we're being built up. Ephesians 4:16 in the New Living Translation, we went over a lot of these before, I'm just doing this for context. Those are all on the website if you want to go back and listen to them. Verse 16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Notice it says, as each part does its own special work. We all have our own special work. We've touched on this several times. But we all have something that God has specifically told us to do, given us to do, equipped us to do, given us the building, the spiritual equipment to do. Let's turn over to Galatians in the Word, in your Bible. Galatians 1, verse 15. Galatians 1, verse 15. Everybody there? It says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. And he goes on. But I want you to see, he said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. That kind of touches on abortion right there. But God called Paul from his mother's womb to do something, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So Paul was gifted, was graced, was equipped to do what he did. And he did a lot for the kingdom of God. He wrote, you know, a good portion of our New Testament epistles. But he was graced to do that. I just want to, we're going to go over a number of scriptures. Let's look at a few on your sheet that are similar. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Notice that. You are God's fellow workers. That's what he says first. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. We are all being built up in him. We all have a specific part to play. And just like Paul said, according to the grace of God. Grace is used in many ways in the New Testament. But one of the ways, one of its meanings, is the equipment and building up what you have to do a task. When somebody says you've been graced to do something, that's not just Christianese. That means you've been specifically, spiritually equipped to do it. We've all been given something to do, and we've been built specifically for that task, whether we think so or whether we can see it or not. This is why it is so important that we hear the voice of God for ourselves and we know what he's called us to do. Now, I'm not saying you have to know what you're going to do for the next 40 years now. You may know where you're ultimately going, but even if you have a sense of the calling where God has taken you, that doesn't mean you're going to step into it today. You are being built into that just like anybody else. And we need to, even though we have a specific calling, we have a specific purpose, we need to let God add to us as he sees fit, as he leads us and guides us. He will make us into that person that can handle what he's ultimately called us to do. And this is a mistake some people make, is they get a sense of where God's taking them. And they could be right on. But they say, okay, I'm going to start doing something to get myself there. I see it. Here's my, 10, 20-step plan. Here's my 10-year plan, how I'm going to get there. The things of God don't work that way. You can try that, and most of the time you're going to make a mess. Because God is a God of faith, and you're going to have to walk by faith. Well, that means you're not going to walk by your sight. You're not going to walk by everything you see. And most of the time, your plans, your 10-year plans, are based on what your understanding of here and now and where you think you're going to be 10 years from now, right? There's a whole lot we don't know. But God knows it all. So there's nothing wrong with planning. God says as much in the Word. You want to be diligent to do what you know to do, but it should be prayerfully done with him to say, God, is this what you want me to do? And I'll plan out as far as I can see you want me to do it. Because sometimes we'll make plans and then we think we have to stick to those plans because after all, there are plans and this is how it ought to go down. And usually you make a plan, the moment you start executing that plan, it's already outdated and you have to redo a different one, right? Best laid plans of men, right? It is that way. So how much more? See, the nice thing about following God's plan is he already knows actually what's going to happen. He knows us. Not just our idea of ourselves, which can be flawed. We think we know ourselves, but we all know. We find out more about ourselves as we go on. And if you have a spouse or anybody living closely with you, they probably know how you really are in a lot of areas more than we do, right? Oh, that's the way you think you are? Okay, let me tell you a few things. You ever taken one of those personality tests side by side and how they come out? How your spouse sees you? Well, God knows all those things. He knows the things that your spouse doesn't know because you've never shared it with anyone. And yet he knows he has something up here for you, and he's going to say, but yeah, right today, this is what I want you to do. And you can look and say, I don't see how that fits with what I have in my heart down here. That doesn't have anything to do with anything. Again, you have to just come back to, is God telling you to do it? If he's telling you to do something today, that's what we ought to do. And he is going to grace us or equip us to do that. To do that now. That doesn't mean sometimes this is the other thing people get into is, I'm good at this. This is what I've done. They see that God called them to do something. They heard God. They started doing it. And it went well because they're equipped to do that. They're graced to do that. That's what they're supposed to do. And they do that for a few years or whatever. Now they think that's all they do. So now God starts saying, and now I'd like you to move over here. And like, no, I do this. See, I'm good at this. This is what you've called me to do. And they don't want to hear anybody else tell them anything different. That's a rut. We have to be careful that we're still hearing Him. Did you hear me? You need to check up on yourself and make sure, okay, if God's telling me to change and do something, but God, I'm comfortable here. I know what I'm doing here. I feel good about this. None of that really matters. He's not concerned with our comfort. He's concerned with our growth. And so He'll take you and say, now I want you to do this. And you'll say, but how? Well, if you really followed God before, that's probably the way you felt when you started in this vein that now you're so comfortable with. But God's got a higher level. And so He's going to demand, require faith. He will. Every step of the way. But the thing we have to know is just like Paul, we have grace that was given to us to do that task. Equipment. You may not see it. You may not feel like it. It's there. But if He asked you to do it, it's there. Period. You step out on that. And say, so the thing you need to know is, did He tell you? If He told you, doesn't matter what it looks like, doesn't matter what it feels like, God is telling me to do it, so I can do it, and I'm going to step into it, and I'm going to grow in that grace, in that equipment, and I know that He'll help me to do it. But notice verse 10, there it says, according to the grace of God, which was earned, which I went out and worked hard for. Notice how I went down and read a book and I got this grace. No. It says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me. Given to me. That means you can't do what somebody else has grace to do. Because if God has graced them to do it, He's given them a grace to do it. And if you haven't been given that grace, you can try to do it, but you're not going to fly. And there's a lot of people that are wishing they had somebody else's grace, somebody else's equipment, and they try to do somebody else's job, and it just doesn't work because God is not in it. Notice Romans there. Romans 12, 5. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. Having then gifts differing what? How are people gifted different? When we say somebody is gifted, what do we mean? It's in the Bible. Now we can get, you know, throw slang around in anything, but these things are based in the Bible. A lot of things are, which we kind of get into our slang. But having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If we have a gift and we're able to do something and God has gifted us that way, let's use them. And He goes on to give some examples. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Notice that. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Let's turn over to this scripture in Romans. There's something else I want to bring out here. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 3. Actually, let's go back to verse 1. Those are familiar verses of Scripture, but let's touch on them in context. Aren't you glad God called us to do something? And that we can know what that is? And that we can walk in it? And we can be confident and do it? And enjoy doing it? One of the most fun you'll ever have is doing what God has called you to do. And walking in that and seeing Him work through you. That's fun. See somebody else be blessed through you. And you know it's Him. Chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So you present your body and say, God, here I am. Anything you need to do with me, I'm here. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, he didn't say that you shouldn't think highly of yourself. He just said, don't think more highly. You ought to think well of the person next to you, but you ought to look at yourself and believe you can do something. The problem comes when you start thinking you're worse than somebody, they're better than you, or that you're better than somebody else. That's when you get into trouble. But he didn't say that. He just said, don't think higher than you ought to think, more highly than you ought to think. But to think soberly, now notice this, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now notice what he's talking about in context. He's talking about he's given you a measure of faith for what? Well, notice what he's talking about next. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophesy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. So when he says a measure of faith, he's in context, he's talking about to do what he's gifted you to do. Now, he just got done saying, don't think higher than somebody else or think you're better than somebody else, but think soberly because he's dealt each one a measure of faith. He's dealt you what you need to do what you're called to do, and he's graced you to do it. And so when you look at somebody else and go, boy, I'm better than them. They don't have what I have. Well, you better be careful because if you're gifted to do that and called to do that and have the faith to do it, then just do that. Don't compare yourself with somebody else. Likewise, when you look at somebody else and go, I can never do what they're doing. You're not called to do it. You say, I never could believe for that. You won't because that's not your calling. With your calling, God's going to say, you can do this. And if you'll look, there is something that, now you can choose to suppress it and not latch on to it, but there is faith that goes with it. Where does the faith come from? What is faith? It's belief in God's word. If he told you to do something, what are you believing? If he told me to do it, I can do it. Therefore, you have faith to do it. Amen. That's where the faith comes from. Amen. Amen? That's why when you look at somebody and go, I don't know how they have the faith to go over there in the middle of whatever country and live like that. I would never be able to do that. God didn't say go over there. If God told you, I want you to move your five children over in the middle there with no running water or anything and nothing that you can see and modern conveniences, now you have a choice. Do you believe what he told you to do or not? Then you could shy away. But then if you said, all right, pack up the kids, honey, we're going. Africa, Siberia, wherever it is. We're headed over there. Why? God told us. How are we going to do this? I guess God knows that. I don't know it yet. You know, when Abraham, God told Abraham, get out of your country. didn't tell him where he was going. I know we've said some of this before. It bears repeating. When God told Abraham to get out, he didn't tell him where he was going. That would not fly with the majority of people today because we're way too smart for that. Seriously, you already know where you are every 3 feet with your phone, let alone if you're going to go halfway across the world to not... If you were to tell somebody, going to the airport today, where are you going? Africa. Middle. What are you going to do when you get there? Don't know. God said, go over there, I'm going. They would look at you like, okay, we'll see you, have a good trip, right? Because we're way too smart to do that. Majority of people don't even believe there's a God, let alone if he told you to do that. What are they thinking? Yeah, right, it's God telling, okay, we'll let you go with that. They're not thinking God told you, they're thinking you made this up, right? Yes. But did God tell Abraham that? Yes. Will he do it to us? Yes. Does that take faith? Yes. What do you have faith in? He told you. Right? If he told you, then you're thinking, he knows something I don't. Okay, let's go. And I'm totally assuming and believing that I'm going to know what I need to know when I need to know it. Because if it's him, now we're going back to if it's him. If it's not him, you got problems. Right? That's why it's so important. You find out if it's him. And if it's him, he tells you to do something, whether it's I'm going over here or you start functioning in this area that you don't have any previous experience in or whatever. You know it's him. You say, is it you? Yes, it. You know, you settle that. The bigger the thing is, the longer you wait, the more you get it settled. Yeah, still seems good. Don't understand it. Seems good. And if it's God, it'll seem good today, and it'll seem good tomorrow, and it'll seem good 2 weeks from now, and God's not going to rush you. If you start feeling like, oh, you better get it, you're going to miss the window, that's not God. I said that's not God. Because God is not hurting you, he's leading you. He's going, come on, God, come on, come on. See, this is a trap. I know we've gone over some of these things before, but the devil tries to get you back in the mode where, oh, you know, is God really for me? Is he really leading me? And boy, I better go, because I might miss the plan of God. That's not God. God's not impatient. He's been around for a long time. This little bit of time here on this earth that we're going through, maybe 10 years, that's like hit that for him. He's just like, oh, you're still there. Okay. Moment. Momentarily, he looks over and, you know, you're 10 years down the road. He's not in a hurry. And so when he tells us to do something, we say, that's you. Okay, we have faith to do it. And when we step out, we'll see things, which then our faith can increase. Because we see him work on our behalf. We see him come through on our behalf. And then we can say, well, they did that and that. Same voice that told me that. Same one in here. Been waiting. Yeah, seems good. All right. What you going to do, God? We're going. We're going to do this. I'm going to step in this area. Haven't done this area before. Don't know what I'm doing, but you said so. You've equipped. Know this. If God tells you to do something, the equipment goes with that command. His commands are enablements. If he tells you to do something, you're already able to do it. Why? Because he told you to do it. The highest authority in the universe told you to do something. If he told you, you can do it. And the resources and ability is there for you to do it. Amen? Amen. And so don't ever be scared to step into a new area that you haven't stepped into, whether it's ministry service, whether it's a job, whether it's a location. If he told you, that's it. Okay, God, you're smarter than me. I am going to follow you. I am going to step into that. So you've been given a measure of faith. And so what did he say then? Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Verse 4. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Verse 6, Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Your faith can increase in that area he's told you. If he's told you to do something, the more you go, the stronger you can get. The more you develop, the more you're able to flow with that grace, with that equipment. You get stronger. You're being built up in this place in the body of Christ. You're being a blessing. You're being blessed. You're increasing. That's his plan for all of us. In proportion. You start out, you're not going to be where you're ultimately going to be. So don't worry about that. Don't try to be there. Don't try to do something that's out of, if you don't have faith for it, don't do it. Do what you have faith for, what you can see. Amen? Some people try to give $1,000 when they really should be given $500. Don't ever do that. You probably already have done that. I've done that. You know, maybe not the exact amounts, but, well, I just, you know, believe I should give this. I really want to give this. And my pastor in Lincoln, Nebraska relates the story of how he was at camp meeting or somewhere. I can't remember where it was, but he was there and he nudged his wife and said, we ought to give $1,000 in this offering. And she looked over at him and said, you don't have faith to give $1,000. And it made him mad. He was like, I rebuke just unbelief. You listen to the devil. What are you talking about? Get out of my way, woman. I believe. And he sat there and kind of stewed and thought about it. What'd she mean by you don't have faith? It means you don't really believe that God's leading you to do that, and that if you gave it, more is going to come back. You don't believe it's going to be replaced. You're just giving it because you want to look like you're giving a big amount. So he stewed, and then he's like calmed down. He realized God was telling him, your wife's right. That happens a lot. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes you can't discern between the voice of the Holy Spirit and your wife. Sometimes they sound all the same so much. But he calmed down. And he said, she's right. She goes, what do you think? Went back to her. What do you think we should give? She said, 500. He said, yeah, that sounds better. So they gave 500. And they could give it in faith, and they could do it cheerfully. Amen? Don't do what you don't have faith for because you think you ought to, or because you think somebody else thinks you ought to, or for any reason. Somebody's watching me. I better do it. No, Bible says have faith unto God, not unto men. Do what you know you can do and what you can see and what you can believe for and step out in that and you'll be blessed and you'll be in the right track. He said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Notice all these things are things that have been given. They're gifts. We flow in the gift and the grace that God has given us. Verse 7, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. What's he saying? You do what God has called you to do in the strength that he's given you to do it. And walk and be strong in that. And don't look at everybody else what they're doing. You stay in that area. And as we've been talking about, if you'll do that, the whole body will be blessed. Everybody will grow up. You'll go stronger. You'll be a blessing to other people because you're in your place. They'll be a blessing to you because you're in your place. Or they're in their place. You're in your place. The whole body grows stronger. Amen? And he's equipped us each to do something like that. So what's the real crux? We just need to find that place. We don't try to find what we think we ought to do, what excites us. Believe me, the thing that God calls you to do, it'll excite you. It may not always excite you up front. It may be a little bit daunting to you. But ultimately, there is nothing that would make you more fulfilled than that. Nothing. Do we trust him? Do we trust him? This takes trust and faith. Just to say, God, okay, that's the way I'm going to go. Yeah, but I really feel like this is what I want to do. Lay that down. What did Jesus say? Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours, God. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be here. I'll slide into this area. Lord, you're calling me to do this. Okay, I'm going to believe I can do it. And Lord, I'm going to do it. And I'm just expect this is the best thing for me. It's the best thing for me. Amen.